This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Christmas edition of Follow the Money. It is Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz on the desk here for Mitch and Paul. Don't worry, they'll be back in here soon. But we are coming down to the wire, and what we did not know was going to be as tight of a game as it is, Jeff Schwartz. We were talking yesterday about the survivor implications of what's going to go on here on Christmas Day. This is a 7-point game at the 2:03 mark of the fourth quarter. Yes, the Washington Commanders are only down a touchdown in this one. They have actually squandered several different trips to the red zone. I mean, they could easily be up in this game.
They could, and that's why they're not good this season, right? They've made a lot of mistakes. A 2-minute warning now. This is actually interesting because the Commanders should jump off sides and give Dallas another set of downs because it's within 5 yards right now. Because if they get a 2-yard carry, let's say, and they call timeout and they get a first down, the game is over, right? So this way you give yourself an opportunity to get off the field in 3 downs. I'm curious if they do that. 2nd and 4 right now, the smart thing would be to jump off sides, give them a first down, and then have your 3 timeouts left to get 3 stops in a row and get the ball back. So kind of curious if Washington does the smart thing, which they did by kicking the field goal a second ago, right? They were driving down 10 points to make that happen. I teased the Cowboys, ended up doing that. Talked about that yesterday. So I got -2.5, so I'm sitting okay for now. I'm just glad to be here for many reasons. One, happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. I'm glad I don't have to hear any more Netflix interviews during the middle of the game. Like, we're done. We're going to be on the show during the next game. I'm glad to be here, not to listen to those anymore, because that's ruined my afternoon so far, listening to Michael Irvin and was it Clinton Portis talk? Emmett Smith. Michael Irvin was halftime show in his full white tuxedo talking and screaming into the microphone.
If anyone was here with us yesterday, and if you weren't, and maybe you weren't listening earlier, so we do have 5 of the remaining entries. We assumed this was going to be the case, Jeff. We assumed that the 5 that had the Cowboys would play them. Why wouldn't you? You were the only team that had favorites available. You were the only teams that had the 8.5, 9-point favorite here with the Cowboys. So all 5 did, in fact, take the Cowboys. Only 1 of the entries that had to play a dog ended up playing oppo of this. So we will either move through with 5 here or we'll move through with 1. There is 1 entry on the Commander. So either over 9 million will get put back into the pool or 1.8 million will get put back into the pool. But no matter what happens, no matter what goes down, we will lose somebody here in this early window.
Yeah. Well, I believe Derek Stevens tweeted out earlier that they took a hedge bet at $1 million, right? Something like that.
I just talked to him right outside the door. He took a $1.1 million hedge on this game right here.
On what side? Do we know
The people that took the Commanders put 1.1 on the Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I assume that's a line of credit. They didn't walk in with $1.1 million cash.
That is the great thing here. That is the great thing here about Derek and Jeff Benson and whatnot. They welcome you to come in. And if you want to take out a big line of credit, they know you're good for it. You know, they know you're good for it. So, they took out the line of credit and 1.1 on that one. But it gets very interesting, though, as we move forward, because, again, as the Cowboys are sitting here trying to maybe ice this thing, they're going to be 3rd and very short. And if they can get the first down, then they will end up winning this thing. If they do, it will, unless they break it, they will not cover. This got as high as 9 this morning, as you and I watched it yesterday kind of move a little bit as well. And so the Cowboys money continue to roll in.
Yeah, this is a bad decision by them to not give Dallas the first down, because now a first down ends the game, where if you jump off sides, you give Dallas 3, new set of downs, essentially. You can call timeout after stopping them on 3rd down and get a punt. Now, if Dallas gets 1 yard here, the game is over. Now, you can, of course, stop them on this 1 yard, but they've been gashing them all day, and they are going to pass the ball here.
And that's
Dak
it.
Gets the first down. So that's going to do – that'll be it. Pickens gets out of bounds like a dummy. What are we doing, man? Why are you getting out of bounds?
Because
running out of bounds?
Because, Jeff, he needed the extra 3 yards. I mean, you know,
this is why teams are bad, by the way.
Catch and fall down.
Actually the reason why
teams
are
bad. And the game's over.
Just
catch and fall down.
Go down. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Actually, it was like fighting for the sideline. You know, yeah, it's actually like fighting for the sideline. Unbelievable.
That's why teams are bad. It's that why. It's the reason why.
So that's going to do it.
Very simple.
So five very, very happy Circa Survivor entries. They are in victory formation here. So they're going to kneel this thing out and they will advance. One does go down, but don't worry. Didn't go down empty handed, as we just mentioned. Had the 1.1 million on the Dallas Cowboys here in this one.
They ruled forward progress stopped before he went out of bounds.
Okay.
Because Commander had to call timeout, which, sure, whatever you want to say, officials. Yeah. I don't know how. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. That's not what happened, but sure. I mean, sure. You allowed forward progress to continue on the Steelers-Lions game to Amon-Ra St. Brown to go 7 yards backwards and pitch the ball, but you don't want to allow forward progress to let him go out of bounds there. The forward progress stuff bothers me. They just make it up as they go. They absolutely just make it up as they go. There's no uniform rhyme or reason that they do stuff. That stuff bothers me here. But so four entries survive. Five entries survive, right?
Five survive. Yeah, one will go down. And then, but like I said, not going away empty handed there. That's the last time out there for the Commanders. So, I mean, they'll probably run it. I imagine they'll take knees. But regardless, they're already in field goal range. And then this is also very, very, very little time for Washington to get anything done. I'm probably going to be a loser here in this one, as I had the Treylon Burks over receiving yards, and he caught an 11-yard pass on the opening drive, Jeff. And I'm like, oh, here we go. He's going to be worked into this game, like right off the bat. Everything's great. Doesn't have a target since. So, you know, it is what it is. Football's funny.
Yeah. I think I told you I liked Davis, the backup running back, yesterday over rushing, and he is well over rushing. He's got 103 yards. Now, obviously, Williams was hurt, but he went over rushing before Williams got hurt. So that's an angle I like to play in some of these games. I think there'll be kind of a blowout. It's to take the backup running back over because they get more carries. And Williams, unfortunately, got hurt, so that ended up helping me out there. And I put the Cowboys in a teaser. And so after that Cal game last night, man, I need something. I need something positive to go my way. And we have a good start so far today.
Yeah, we were. I mean, again, to give you credit, you saw it coming. At least you saw it coming. I mean, it was it's one of those weird things. It was like in slow motion coming. You're just like, okay, they're not moving the ball anymore. The vibes seem really like they're shifting here. Oh, man, this is no good. And then sure enough, at the end of the game, we saw how that ended up. I know you were all watching because it was the only sporting event that was on yesterday.
I unfortunately know too much about Cal. My brother went to Cal. I've covered the Pac-12 for years, obviously in the ACC now. I've watched a lot of Cal football, and that was a Cal football game. I had someone even tweet me like, they do this four times a year. I'm like, yeah, that's about right. Four times a year, they have a game like that. So obviously Tasha Poy's job now is to fix that. The one thing I just don't like the people that get on the internet and start bragging about like how they were right about the Hawaii, that they took Hawaii, that was the right side at the final play of the game.
Right.
I just, frustrates me.
It's being results oriented for sure. with the way that ended up, but it was, I was feeling for you, buddy. Cause that was brutal there at the end. Dak Prescott is going to end up with throwing for 307 yards. So he's going to go over his total there. And that one, two touchdowns and no picks for him. He was sacked six times in this game, but when it's all said and done, does go over the 300-yard mark. As you mentioned, Malik Davis takes over for the injured Javonte Williams. He goes for 103 yards. So if you did take any prop for him, obviously covers any and all numbers in that one. That last little catch that we were kind of scratching our head about, that it seemed like that George Pickens was fighting for the sideline, that actually did get him over for the game as well. That got him up to 78 yards. CeeDee Lamb, despite five catches, is going to go under at 46 yards for him. And then, of course, Jake Ferguson gets injured in this one as well. He has one catch, and if you had any time touchdown, good for you. It was a touchdown catch, but after that, he had to leave the game. So a couple of big injuries there on the Cowboys side in this one, and that's going to do it. 30-23. Cowboys win. If you have money line, good for you. Do not cover, as the Commanders keep this thing within the eight and a half, nine, whatever number it was that you got.
Yeah, there was, we talked about this yesterday. There was no chance I was taking Dallas to cover this game. I did think that they would maybe cover like easier than what happened in this game. And their offense just scored 6 points in the second half. They just went in a shell. They didn't run the ball enough, in my opinion. It just wasn't good enough in the second half from them offensively. The Commanders fought, but the Cowboys defense stinks. I mean, people try to convince us like a month ago the Cowboys defense was good because they played well against Kansas City, and they didn't. They got all 28 points. was silly to me. I never believed it, and they keep showing you they're not good on defense. Commanders fought here. The next game coming up is the one that I think we're going to see an upset in. So, I don't think we're going to have a straight three money line parlay winner today of all the favorites. I know that's probably a favorite of people. Maybe you threw in a basketball wager as well on that parlay, but I don't see that happening. I think the Vikings in this next game can get it done.
On the prop side from the Commanders, if you played any any Bob Krosky Merritt stuff. So this morning, Rodriguez gets ruled out with an illness. Yep. And so that just propelled Merritt into the kind of workhorse role there. Now, they didn't have the luxury of running it a ton, but fortunately, one of the runs, he only had 11 carries, one of them went for 72 yards. So that gets you over any and all numbers there. His rushing prop gets home 105 yards and two touchdowns for him. Debo Samuel goes over his rushing prop on two carries as he gets to 25 yards, 68 receiving for him, 63 receiving for Terry McLaurin in this one. But Josh Johnson only throws for 198, so not a lot to go around there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The Krosky Merritt went from about 28, 29 up to like 60 immediately when that news came out that Rodriguez was going to be out. Not when he was inactive. You know, they said, I think it was illness, right? Like illness, and it didn't really move very much, and he was out, and it rose up. So hopefully when that first news came out that he moved to the probable or doubtful list, you're able to cash in on that. And the Commanders lose again, man. I mean, look, they're going to have a better draft position. This is kind of a spot they want to be in. They don't want to lose division rival, obviously, but getting the draft pick is what they want.
Yep, 30-23 Cowboys over the Commanders. Do not cover the number there. It does go over the total. All things Detroit and Minnesota when we come back here and follow the money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul. They'll be back in here on the desk tomorrow. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Of course, this hour is brought to you by Better. If you think you know sports, go get paid for it at Better. Download the Better app today. Get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. Be sure and use that promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Now joining me here on the desk, Stephen Schlansky. And Stephen, you have been around this sports book here a lot over the last 3 years, as there has been a documentary getting filmed chronicling everything going on in the greatest sports betting contest in the world, Circus Survivor. It's been very, very fun to get to know the characters along the way with all of that. But man, we have got a very interesting scenario going on this year, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of like how this season played out when you think about it, because a record-setting number of entrants to begin with, over 18,000. And unlike last year, a vast majority of people really went pretty far. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really until week 12. I mean, up until week 12, we had 900 people left, which is still a considerable amount. So it was great. People stayed involved. People stayed active. We got to know a lot of people. We got to follow them through the first 12 weeks. And then Thanksgiving hit. And then we were down to, you know, from that 1 2-day span, we went from 900 to 49, which was, so really cleared the field out. Mm-hmm. And then we quickly went to 10. So now we've been out of 10 for a couple of weeks now, and we'll see what happens today. Certainly one has lost. But the way it played out, we got to know people. People stayed in longer. But now we're still down to the same. We'll be in single digits like we have in the past, 3 years.
Right.
Kind of always seems to get to that point. It goes there in different methods, but we've always seemed to get to the point where last 2-3 weeks of the season, you're down to single digits.
What is the attitude like and sort of the feeling of the people still left? Are they anxious? Are they worried? Are they glued to screens. I'm just so curious about the mindset of someone left in a contest right now.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what we love to try and get out of all the contestants. This is kind of why we do the documentary, to follow them through it, see how they, you know, navigate the pathway. And then when it gets to this, you know, the final 10, when each entry is worth $1.8 million, there's so much riding on it. And, you know, they react differently. Some people, you know, we've heard from people in the past who they just get so anxious. They lose sleep. That's all they can think about. They're obsessed with it. And other people are just like, you know, this is, they're hedging, they're monetizing already. So they're already feeling really great. So it's a much lighter approach. But it's interesting too, because when, you know, we'll start to see more people come into Circa for the next 2 weeks who are still alive, they develop this camaraderie too, because they're all in it together, even though they're actually rooting against each other because, you know, they're at odds when they choose the games, but they form this whole group. This is a camaraderie. We see it every year when they all come back mm-hmm. for the check ceremony and they come back with their jackets. It's like this badge of honor that they wear, that they carry through, you know, all through each season.
Yeah, it's interesting. We saw some of the guys that got to know each other over the last couple of years actually end up forming a team and entering Grandissimo together, you know? And so, like you said, it's weird how this contest, even though, yeah, I'm against you and I'm against you and I'm against you, you still do, if you make it deep and you're still weirdly are kind of in it together, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're going through the same emotions and no one else can really understand what you're going through unless you're actually going through it. And like the intensity of like saying, okay, I'm watching this game. I've got potentially $2 million riding on this game. And you can, you know, all you can do is sit and watch and hope for the best.
Are people willing to share with you their game theory and how they go about doing this? Or they try to keep that to themselves because that, you know, obviously you're airing this after it's over, right. But just so maybe people in the future don't get an idea of how they're thinking.
No, people are pretty willing to share, and which is really interesting because you do get a lot of different strategies. You do see some players coming back who make deep runs year after year. And there's a lot of multitude of factors involved, but they seem to have, there's some individuals who really have some really good strategies who are able to at least get to the point where they're monetizing every year, even if they're not winning every year. But yeah, people are, they're pretty open about sharing.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting to, and by the way, guys, the previous seasons of the documentary, you can go in, even if you know how it all played out, you get to know these people, you can still go back and rewatch this thing and still kind of see the emotion and everything that gets involved with all of this and how these people, the ups and downs. And, you know, again, when I say downs, we were here, Steven, in week 18 last year. Not everybody won last year, you know, and that was the thing that it was brutal, because you've got groups of people lined up out here along the top rail, and we're watching one team celebrate and go crazy because they had just won and they knew they advanced all the way through, while literally one box over, they're watching their dream go down.
Yeah, it's incredible. And people do say, like, as disappointing as it is to get knocked out early, can you imagine going 19 out of 20 weeks or 18 out of 20 weeks and going that far and then getting knocked out? It's brutal. So hopefully at that point people are monetized, and so they at least feel good about, you know, coming away with something.
Yeah.
But it's brutal. And you exactly, last year you have everybody together and all these different factions, and one game ends, but another game starts, and there's so much money at stake. So if one team is knocked out, you know, we went from, in that very last week last year, we had 18 going into the final week and only 8 coming out. So more people lost out than came through.
What's something you learned about the process along the way that you did not expect to learn following all these Survivor contest entries?
Just the unpredictability. I mean, you obviously think that you know it on a rational level, but when you get in there, you never know what week is going to be the, you know, the week of death, where you go from, where percentage wise you have 80% of the contestants knocked out in any single week. And it may not be something you see on the horizon, but then when you're in there, it's a strange effect. And we saw this on Thanksgiving. It's like once one underdog wins, and then the second one wins, and then the third one wins, you really feel like there's something going on that kind of catapults these underdogs to like more upsets happening than the favorites happening. So it's this indescribable thing, but you see that in certain weeks, you get multitude of upsets, and then you knock out, you can have quiet weeks, three quiet weeks in a row, then all of a sudden, one week, bam, 80% of the pool is gone in that single week.
We're sitting here, of course, we have a lot of people sweating the game that's going on right now. Four of the entries on the Vikings as they just recover a fumble here, and are already in the scoring area here. So at least in field goal range, as Jared Goff fumbles the snap, but four very interested people, Stephen, in this one. As we know, we did have six of the 10 on the early game, five advance, one goes down, 1.87 million back into the pot with this one. And then four here sweating out this afternoon game. We could leave with nine live entries today. We could leave with five live entries today.
Yeah, this is really interesting. Going into this week and even looking at this, when we were down to 10, we knew that only five of the 10 had Dallas available. And then we assumed the other five were going to be on Washington. No one was really looking at the Vikings at that point. So we assumed it's going to cut the pool in half no matter what happens. But that may not be the case because four of the five who didn't have Dallas are on Vikings. If the Vikings win, then yeah, we get nine out of the 10 go through. We didn't predict that, but that would be pretty remarkable.
How much does the book benefit from running this contest? Now, obviously, you know, there's a pool of people making money, but just the publicity, the excitement, the enjoyment that we have watching this contest, how important is it for Circa to run this every year?
I mean, it's been this great contest that Circa puts on. Jeff Benson this morning was saying that it really, you know, it puts Circa Sports on the map in a lot of ways. And it's Circa Sports is now very well known for these contests. They have taken them to a level that nobody ever anticipated. So it's really put Circa Sports on the map in a lot of ways. And it's great for the hotel casino because you get people coming in, you get a lot more interest. It's turned, you know, what typically is a very sleepy month of August into a very popular month because everybody comes here to sign up in person. So I think it's been a huge success. If you were to ask the Circa team, it's been an enormous success, even though there's no rake. It's all the money goes back to the players, to the contestants.
Talking to Stephen Schlansky, of course, he's the executive producer of the Circa Survivor, The Quest 4. We can insert the money amount every single year. And that's kind of where I leave with this last question here. Stephen, we get up to 18.7 million this year. Obviously, when that gets out, we release the doc and people watch that and they go, wait, I can turn $1,000 into X million, stuff like that. Where do you think we end up when it is all said and done here? I mean, I think that we're looking at, you know, could we get to 20 million? Could there be a $20 million prize pool?
I'd be surprised if we don't. I mean, don't you think? I mean, look at the last 2 years. 2 years ago, it was at 9.2. Last year, it was at 14.2. This year, it's at 18.7. So it's more than doubled in 2 years. Now, I don't know if it's going to more than double again because, you know, it's going to slow down. But yeah, 20 is definitely within sight. 20 is very attainable, in my opinion.
And we kind of look at this, and again, this is with people still having to show up in person in Nevada. So who knows where gaming laws are in 5 years, 10 years or something like that, and where this thing could really, really blast off to for sure. But again, previous seasons are available out there. Go in, take a look, see what it's all about. Some of the characters that you get to know are pretty interesting, pretty interesting dudes. I've actually kept in touch with a few of them, you know, through all of this. It's super, super fun. And again, we have just 10 entries left going for, well, I should say nine entries left now going for $18.7 million. Five are through, four are pending, and four are very, very happy right now as the Vikings get into the end zone first on the Lions in this one. Steven, appreciate the time, buddy.
My pleasure.
Guys, when we come back, I'm going to be joined on the desk by Jeff Benson. We'll see what's going on behind the book this week at Circa.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul as we roll along here on Christmas Day, following along with these Pretty interesting NFL games. I don't think that we thought the early game was going to be as close as it was. And here we are, 7-0 in favor of the Vikings over the Lions. And kind enough to join me here on the desk is Jeff Benson, head of operations here at Circa Sports. Jeff, and we kind of said, you know, just looked at each other and smiled. You're like, hey, it's tough to win in the NFL.
I mean, if it wasn't for the Circa Survivor contest, I'm not sure any of the games today would have much meaning. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's really tough to win in the NFL. And, you know, I think when you look at the games today and you kind of, you know, rewind, a few weeks to the Thanksgiving holiday, when you throw in the holiday weeks and you got to make 20 picks in Circa Survivor, it certainly makes things pretty tough. And then when you add in the fact that, teams are going to have to use underdogs and you got, not even backup quarterbacks, right. third string quarterbacks, and most teams not playing for anything, it makes it particularly difficult.
On a holiday like today, do you still see the same handle for these contests? Not these contests, I mean, for the games, not the contest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Thanksgiving, you know, the games were a lot better. So I think the handle was, probably a little bit better for that. You know, today we've taken a few, 7-figure hedges. So that certainly helps handle. But, you know, when you got, three games where it's north of a touchdown favorite, you know, you probably don't see as much as you would if they were maybe a little bit more competitive or if, you know, both teams had something at stake.
So coming in, did you expect more people to be heads up with the Cowboys than just the one entry, or did you expect there to be more people going with the Vikings? I guess I thought there was always going to be at least a couple that took the Vikings. I thought maybe there'd be a couple who just from a game theory standpoint say, hey, if the Cowboys lose, it's going to be 5 down and I'm on the other side of that one. Were you surprised it was only one, or was that about what you were thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would have thought something very differently a week ago, mm-hmm. If Mariota was playing and things like that. But the number just got steamed. And I think, you know, for people looking to hedge, having to lay -440, -450 on the Cowboys versus, you know, something that was probably a dollar cheaper on the Vikings may have had something to do with it. Also, not necessarily being the first game of the day might have something to do with it. So that you have a better understanding of what happened in the early slate. And then, you know, obviously, like I said, just the difference in the money line, I think, you know, pushed, quite a few people over. Obviously, if you're taking the Commanders, you know that you are eliminating 5 entries on the other side. So there's a lot that goes into that. You know, I think when you look at, you know, where everything kind of, you know, landed, you know, to island yourself on the Commanders, from a EV perspective, I think certainly worked out. Well, obviously they didn't get the job done, but if they were a little bit more efficient in the red zone, you know, maybe that game is a bit closer than what it, ultimately ended. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here with Detroit and Minnesota. But yeah, I think obviously there were a lot of people that pivoted from Commanders over to the Vikings, you know, once that, line got bit out to 9.5, you know, touched 10 in some places. Versus the 7.5 that you saw in the other game.
I asked Steven this question. I'd like to get your answer on this as well. Like, how important is this contest to your sportsbook's growth, to the identity of what you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, at least early on really helped put us on the map. You know, when we opened in 2019, you know, Derek came to Matt Metcalf and Chris Bennett, myself, and the rest of our guys and said, you know, create, a couple of football contests that can really help put Circa Sports on the map. And I think, with where we've gone and the growth of this contest and VSiN and, the docuseries and things like that, contest has really taken on a life of its own. So I think you can make a lot of parallels to the growth in the World Series of Poker, the moneymaker effect, things like that. It's really been helpful for us. It's legitimized us. It's helped, give us a lot of credit. And, you know, it really gets people through the doors. And then, you know, when you get to the, last few weeks of the season, having people come in, you know, open 7-figure credit lines and, you know, us ultimately taking hedge bets that we want and things like that is, you know, there's a lot of good benefits, a lot of free marketing. You know, that's not to say that there's not, a pretty big cost in terms of labor and all that kind of stuff in terms of running the contest. But the benefits have, far outweighed that stuff.
Talking to Jeff Benson, head of operations here at Circa Sports. Jeff, we got one more game today. Has anybody been willing to back the Chiefs in this thing? Just seems like dead team walking out there.
been a one-way train. I think Sunday night opened up maybe 12 and a half. You know, obviously it's at one point we got up to, you know, 14 and a half, or excuse me, 14 reduced before we took a Chiefs bet there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you think about McDuffie, Jalen Watson, no Tyquan Thornton, no Rashi Rice. I mean, it's just a litany of injuries. I mean, they're effectively fielding, you know, a preseason team. You know, anybody that was hurt or had an ailment, they're not playing. So Broncos obviously have a lot at stake. It's a divisional matchup, so, you know, things could happen, but, you know, no circus survivor interest here. But in terms of, you know, the betting, like I said, it the next bet we take on the Broncos will be the first is kind of how I would coin that.
The Chiefs couldn't score with Patrick Mahomes. Now they have a quarterback that we had to look up where he played college, and they signed Shane Butchel as well. I mean, I don't know if they score much tonight at all. So I would imagine that that everyone, like myself, I'm on the Broncos too. I got it 12 as well. I just think that just the Chiefs are dead. I'm a Chiefs fan, so maybe I'm too much about the team.
Yeah, I laid some 12 and a half or a minus 05 or early on Sunday night. But yeah, I mean, it's I will say it seems like the Chiefs get bet hard at post every single week. Obviously, that was with Mahomes under center. We'll see if that happens with Chris Olakin this evening.
So funny. I see my screen lighting up here, so I look over and see Lamar Jackson listed as doubtful. So you guys have now moved to 4.5 there on that one. So somebody was waiting for that information to come through to fire on that thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the Packers availability is for Circus Survivor, but maybe that game just got into play. Obviously, you know, if the Packers win in that spot, it you know, certainly makes the Steelers-Browns game less appealing.
Lions fumbled again, by the way. So the Vikings have the ball again, up 7-0. You know, that it makes it more interesting.
Just a quick
question. I told you the Vikings was the team today. I thought they could pull the upset. College football playoff is in a couple of days. Where are you seeing some of the early money on some of the four games?
Yeah, I haven't focused a ton on college football, but off the top of my head, Ohio State has certainly been bet. I think that's in terms of where we opened, maybe 8.5, 9, I think that was the biggest game that we saw bets on early in terms of the favorite. You know, these games, you know, obviously are coming up in 4 or 5 days. So we won't see the majority of the money until day of or shortly beforehand. And, you know, with the Christmas holiday, we haven't seen a ton up to this point. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think you got four good games. It's nice when you get past the first round, you know, where you have 20 and 17 point spreads, and the competitiveness of the games can, you know, certainly be questioned.
Jeff, you guys being one of the kind of sharper books out there and taking bigger bets and things like that, have you seen, now that you guys are in multiple jurisdictions, have you seen any more local bias at all? Or do you still think it's mostly people just who know what they're doing placing these bets?
No, I mean, our limits are so high that, you know, we don't really have the ability to shade a point here or there based on regional bias. It just doesn't make sense for us. And, you know, when the numbers are so tight and efficient, half a point here, half a point there, you know, certainly matters, particularly when you're taking, you know, five, sometimes six figures on these games. So for us, we don't really shade, not necessarily like the neighborhood bookie in New York or Philadelphia or something like that.
Is there a result for the NFL this weekend you guys are rooting for?
Today, we had some hedging on the Lions. So I would say the Vikings outright wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. And then obviously when you think about the night game tonight, if the Chiefs were somehow to win, that'd probably bust a lot of parlays, money line parlays and teasers. Yeah. I mean, I think obviously we will see the bulk of the Saturday and Sunday money day of, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for anything, most sports books rooting dog and under, and we're never not in that spot as well.
Well, sitting 7-0 right now in favor of the Vikings. They have the ball. So again, if this does play out, that would mean 9 would move on here. 2 more weeks to make picks. Do all 9 make it through? How do you feel about this? Are we getting optimistic that we're not going to be just 5 after this week?
I still think Detroit gets it done in this spot, and then you know have 5 going into week 17B, and then obviously have week 18. So, you know, if Detroit gets through, you know, the number Derek and I were just talking about is 2.5.
All right, so here we go, guys. It is, again, four entries here on the Vikings. We'll see how many make it through. Jeff Benson, he is head of operations here at Circus Sports, the greatest place in the world to watch sports, out here behind me. And, of course, you can he's always willing to interact with you on the Twitter machine. So go ahead, give him a follow. And, you know, any little snarky comment, I'm sure he'll just let it go. Don't worry at all. Jeff, appreciate the time, buddy.
Merry Christmas, guys.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're right.
Yes, it is In Pocket Plays here, the bets that we already have in our account. And I will kick things off here with Justin Herbert rushing yards, and we talked a little bit earlier about how pathetic this offensive line is for this Chargers team, and in comes, oh, by the way, the team with the highest pressure rate in the NFL and two different dudes with over 10 sacks on the season. If you go in and look over the course of the entire season here, Jeff, any team with a pulse on the defensive line, Herbert has gotten to this number rushing. Against Denver, he went for 30. He went for 38. He's gone for 37. He's gone for 60 a couple different times as well in this. I really, really like this this prop here. Him taking on, by the way, one of the more instinctive runners, too. He's really, really good. Like, he feels pressure, and he understands, like, I got to get out of here.
He does.
And he's been very, very good at that. And I think, unfortunately for him, he's going to be under pressure a ton. So I like the rushing yards over on Herbert. I laid it with the Saints. I just think they are a much better team than the Titans. I understand it was fun last week with the Titans going in against a completely dead Chiefs team and what they did. But this Saints team is playing much, much better. And if you go since week 10, this would surprise most people, and I bet you would get it wrong. The number one defense EPA allowed in the NFL since week 10 is the New Orleans Saints. So they are going to, I think they're going to make life rough there on Cam Ward and that Titans team. And I just mentioned about how I laid it with the Jags. Important game. I believe in the defense. I believe in Liam Cohen. I mean, he's a rookie head coach. And Jeff, you've probably played for some coaches that got better over the course of the season. I mean, this was a dude that first time head coach. He goes in, and maybe it was a little bit of an adjustment period. I think this team has looked much, much better each and every week. And I think they're going to go put it on the Colts that are absolutely dead. So love those three plays, all three of those in the account for me.
I have a few in the account. I got Chiefs team total under. Now, it's 12.5 now. It was 10.5. I got 10.5. I got the worst number. I think they might be shut out tonight. They couldn't score when they had an actual quarterback. They have – and think about it, too. Like, right now, Andy Reid is not creative enough to come up with a different offense. Like, when Malik Willis comes in, the Packers have this whole offense ready to go. The Chiefs just don't have that right now. They don't have that right now. So that's something that I think is an issue for them. I think that they're not going to score tonight. The energy in the stadium is going to be weird. No one's going to be there. Like, all those things are going to be issues for the Chiefs tonight. So I got the under team total there. I also like the under in the Houston and the Chargers game at under 39.5. We talked about this with the pass rush on both sides, with the inability at times for these teams with their offensive lines to have consistent offense. I think both teams are going to play a style that leads to essentially under football as well. So I am on that one in pocket. And the other one, I haven't done it yet because I think the Bears, the Niners travel schedule is kind of tough right now. The Bears played Saturday night in Chicago. The Niners played Monday night in Indianapolis. They have to fly all the way back to San Francisco, get ready to play a game. So they have short rest. The Bears have long rest. And the Niners can't rush the passer. They can't. I think this is going to be a very close game. I haven't done it yet, but Bears plus 3 is really piqued my interest.
And those are our plays here, guys. Again, you can find all of these over at VSiN.com. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, head to the picks page. If you're not yet, we're running a special, $79 from now until May the 1st. So be sure and take advantage of that. The drive did stall, Jeff, but a field goal up and good. Yeah, so the Vikings,
just an interception.
Vikings 10-7, and Goff just gets picked
by Harrison Smith, my guy.
Can you imagine how you must feel if you're one of these people that had to take a dog today in Circus Survivor and you pick the Vikings and they're leading 10-7 late in the third and you just get an interception? The Lions continue to hand the ball over to the Vikings. This one, I don't know what, I mean, Jared Goff just.
I told you like the Vikings.
Yeah, this is, I
put a little peanut parlay on with the Vikings money line was in the peanut parlay. So, we'll see if are they going to get home? Are they actually going to get home here? Like, are they going to score a touchdown here? Or are they just going to like kick another field goal in the line?
That is the problem, which is this is all fine and dandy, and they've given it to you four times in the game, but you've only turned it into 10 points. And if you don't score a touchdown here and you kick a field goal, all you do is incentivize them to be more aggressive and go for it on fourth down and all the things like that, because a six-point deficit almost helps the other offense out. So I'm with you. It's like, great, but do something. Do something with it.
I mean, the Lions, I think, are -4, right, in turnovers. The Vikings don't have a turnover today.
Correct.
And it's a three-point game, which is, like, extremely rare to have a -4 turnovers on the road and still be in this game. So Chandler rushes for 5. I mean, it's 3rd and 6 now. I mean, have the Vikings seen a screen? Like, they have a screen in the playbook? Like, any sort of screen, like something? Because Brosmer drops back and immediately just looks to run. Like, he's no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, it's been a bad performance for sure, but who knows? Maybe this defense, and this was kind of the X factor that we said, right? Which was, this defense is what could possibly make this game interesting. And so far, that's it. They've got 4 turnovers. Can the offense do anything to maybe capitalize on this? Again, it's long field goal range.
Throw the ball.
Oh no. Did he get sacked?
No, you gotta throw the ball, bro. You gotta get rid of the ball.
I'm gonna say, I thought you were a tick ahead of me here. He throws it away. So I guess we'll get a long field goal attempt.
He's just gotta throw the ball, man.
So 10-7, 2:02 left in the third quarter. The Vikings, 4 turnovers of this Lions team, and have only turned it into 10 points. We'll see if they can get up a long field goal here and make it 13 points. But boy, this is looks like a lot of wasted opportunities, and I will hate it for those 4 Circus Survivor tickets out there if they end up losing this thing, because that is absolutely brutal. So we're going to get a 56-yard attempt up and good. 56 up and good. So 13-7, the old 6-point lead. What could go wrong? 6-point lead.
Brosmer, just throw the ball, man, please. Don't have something easy for him to throw the ball, man.
It seems like, and I respect Kevin O'Connell a lot, but it does seem like you didn't come out with like the easy throws here, you know, like the quick, easy throws to kind of get him in rhythm and get things going. We hadn't seen that at all.
Nothing whatsoever. So look, the Lions, I mean, it does feel like they're one touchdown away from winning this game by a point, right?
Yes. And that's going to, we can almost name the score here at this one, right? It's going to be 14-13.
I think so,
yeah. Guys, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating right now. You can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings absolutely free, plus save 50% off site-wide when you shop at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. So, again, don't wait. 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings absolutely free when you spend $129 or more over there at omahasteaks.com/VSIN, omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A lot goes into making a production. I know a lot of people are sitting here clowning on Netflix and all of that, but I do want to give a shout out to our crew here behind the desk working on Christmas Day, making us look good. Well, this jacket, I would look good anyway, making me sound good to the people out there on the radio with all of that, the graphics, all the things we're going on here, being in here on a holiday, giving up time with friends and family and stuff like that. Do appreciate that a ton. So each and every one of you guys appreciate that. And, You know, Jeff, you sitting in last couple of days, appreciate you making the time here. We've had an awesome discussion. It's always great to get to talk NFL with a dude who has lived it and walked it. I sit here and act like I know what I'm talking about. You actually been on the sideline, so it's been fun, man.
Yeah, I wish that meant I won all my wagers, but I do appreciate that. It's good to be here talking ball with you guys, and hope everyone had a good holiday season. And looking forward to, look, the NFL's got a couple weeks left, and then my Ducks play on Thursday at noon Eastern. So I haven't started freaking out about the game yet. I'm sure I will at some point, and hopefully we make our – look, I'm a Chiefs fan. I told people that if I have to trade a Chiefs bad season – for a Ducks championship, I would gladly make that trade anytime I can do it. So hopefully my Ducks can get home for me in the next couple of weeks.
Guys, don't go anywhere. Primetime follows us. Cashing Out will follow that. And, of course, we're back to everything normal here on Friday as well. Mitch and Paul will be back on the desk for Follow the Money and everything you love about VSiN here all day on a Friday. We will see again right now, 3.5 on the live line in favor of the Lions, even being down the 6 points here in the game. So we'll see if they can pull that out. For Jeff, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your bets.